Okay, let's start with a word of prayer, okay? Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for a week, whether it be a routine or exciting or tiring or boring, or we know that we are thankful to have had this week and to live under your mercy and your grace, for your mercies are new every morning. And we receive so much from you as we come before you to rest and to turn our eyes upon you. May you speak to us and prepare us for the coming week. And may our worship to you be a pleasing aroma before you, that we simply just come and we receive you and we are comforted by you, we have a heart of gladness because we are your children. We belong to your family. Thank you for all that you've given us. Pray all this in your name. Amen. Okay. All right. We're heading towards the end of the New Testament. The Gospels, at least, and the miracles. I kind of decided to skip the biggest miracle of all, which is Jesus' resurrection, okay? I know that's bad, right? We know that story. So I just felt led to kind of deal with kind of the smaller miracles towards the end of the Gospels, after Jesus has risen from the dead. What happened then? How about those miracles? Those are miracles too, right? And there was one on the road to Emmaus. In my mind, this looked like the road to Emmaus, even though they obviously didn't have power lines at that time. Okay.
We're like an right there. AC unit.
I imagine. Yeah, no power lines. No air conditioning, but I imagine these two walking through the cities of Jerusalem. This is in Jerusalem, by the way, picture of Jerusalem. So imagine them just walking. That's about 7 miles away from Jerusalem. That's where these two guys live. And as they're walking, they had the pleasure of meeting our Lord Jesus in his resurrected state, right? So can Peter read this for us loud and clear?
Luke 24:13-35. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing.
All right, this is a very interesting event. So these two guys are talking, and what things happen? What are they talking about? What are they talking about? Yeah, by the way, this is after the resurrection. Okay, what are they talking about? What do you think you guys are talking about after Jesus died? In Jerusalem. What main big event happened? Right? What happened?
How Jesus came back alive.
How did Jesus come back to alive? Okay, do they know that Jesus came back alive?
Yeah.
They do? Okay, all right.
How do they know?
His body went missing.
Woo! Okay. Somebody stole his body. Maybe that's what they're talking about, right? But, you know, what is everyone talking about this week in our modern life?
The Queen's death.
Okay. You guys have Twitter and TikTok
and all that stuff. You talk about the days, the big things of your community, your society, of the world, right? And it's the same thing. Everyone's just chitter-chattering. Oh, what was she like? What happened? How's the royal family dealing with this, right? Who's the next king? You talk about that. And these two guys are talking about the same thing. Do you hear? I can't believe they put Jesus on the cross. He died. Can't find his body. That's it. The story has ended. He was great. But that now, then this story of Jesus ends. Maybe that's what they're talking about. So, but Jesus himself drew near, right? So they're walking, two guys walking. Jesus comes up behind them. And their eyes were kept from recognizing him. So to them, Jesus was just another man walking on the road beside them. And as we're going through today's Bible study, I want you guys to see that, to keep in the back of your mind that they were kept from seeing Jesus for a reason. Right? Jesus doesn't do things arbitrarily. He does not do things without a plan. He has a plan. But for some reason, in this case, very special, they said, I don't want you guys to recognize me. I'm going to walk with you for a while. He has a plan. And he's waiting for the right time to reveal. Why? We don't know. We'll find out at the end. But keep that in the back of your mind. Why do you think Jesus, like, hey, you're not going to recognize me right now. I'm going to walk with you, but you're not going to recognize me. Why would you do that, right? So keep that back pocket. All right. Ryan, can you read this for us? Huh?
Okay.
Yes, the whole thing. High school students. Okay, let's go.
And he said to them,
louder, please.
What is the conversation
louder,
and you are holding with each other as you walk? And they stood still looking sad. Then one of them named
Cleopas
answered him, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that has happened there these days? And he said to them, what things? And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was prophet mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides this, all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it, just as the woman said, but him they did not see.
Thank you, Ryan. Good job. All right. So this is a passage of ironies. That's what I call it. Passage of ironies. What's an irony? Don't worry. I don't have a definition for irony, but you know what an irony is? Example? What's an example of an irony? This passage is full of them. But what's an example of an irony? I have to look it up. So don't feel bad. You can't think of an example. But if you do, please shout it out.
Like you say, don't be late, but you're late.
Okay, yeah. This guy is saying, hey, don't be late. But he's late, right? Okay. Or I looked up the definition. And one example is like a pilot who's afraid of heights. That's ironic, right? This pilot is afraid of heights, but he is flying a jet plane as high as possible, right? That's it's as if Because you guys have seen, you know, Maverick, right? Tom Cruise was afraid of heights, and he's in the movie portraying a fighter jet pilot. So that's what this is. Full of ironies, right? And what are these ironies? I want you guys to take a look at this. They're shocked at Jesus' ignorance. Who have you been, buddy? Who have you been? That's what they're saying. Hey, God, they don't know who he is, right? Hey, where have you been, buddy? Are you the only person we didn't know about Jesus' death? And Jesus then decides, oh, I know about his death. I know. I am he, right? But they are the ignorant. Their hope died with Jesus, you know, right? That's why I kind of highlighted or bold, put in bold letters that he's talking to him in past tense, right? They were condemned to death. They crucified him. Our hope, we had hope, meaning that we have no more hope, right? We had hope. It's the third day. Right, their hope died with Jesus on the cross, but they fail to realize that eternal hope is actually not on the cross. The cross was their hope, even though their hope was on the cross and they had died. That's the irony. To them, the third day was what? Corruption, right? The body is starting, is dead. But in reality, the third day is actually the promise of resurrection. It's all full of ironies. There was no evidence of his body, right? They don't know, based on this passage that you just read, right? They don't know that Jesus resurrected. They said, we can't find his body. Some woman told us that they went to the tomb, and yeah, they can't find the body. But the irony is the body himself, Jesus, is walking with them. Is that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
So it's full of ironies in this. I'm going to go on, but I want to ask if anybody sees the irony. You have any comment about these ironies and how it applies to us? I'm going to see how these ironies apply to our lives. But any comment?
I don't think this applies to us, but like, so irony is typically used for humor.
Yeah.
So I think this shows that, you mean Jesus is humor?
Sure, it's kind of funny. Yeah. Yeah, Jesus is getting a kick out of it, kind of. Like, they don't know who I am. Like, you're telling me, oh, I don't know what happened. Tell me more.
Yeah, like, you had to be all serious. Like, oh, yeah, no, tell me. I don't know.
But I'm the one who died on the cross, right? I'm the one. Yeah, tell me more. Oh, so they couldn't find his body? Huh, where did he go? Yeah, Jesus is like, tell me more. Okay, it is kind of funny. It is humorous. And I wonder why Jesus wanted this to happen. I wonder why he did not allow them to know who he is, even though he's right in front of them. So, it is humorous. Anyone else? For those of you guys, we're talking about the road to Emmaus, about the two men who did not recognize Jesus after he resurrected, and who's like, what's going on, Jesus? How come? What's going on to this man that who is Jesus, but they don't know? Like, you don't know what happened in Jerusalem. You don't know what happened. Let us tell you what happened. And Jesus is pretending. That he's pretending that, hey, tell me more. And he's walking with them as these two guys are walking home. Tell me more. And these two guys are saying, ha, our hope with Israel, it's gone. Jesus died. Can't find his body. It's the third day. Our hope is done. So Jesus, okay. So with this passage of ironies, I want to ask, is it possible that we might often live in irony, in ignorance of the presence of Jesus in our circumstances? Is it possible that we are like this man, like, I failed at this project. My hope is done. But in reality, this project that you're involved with, whatever that you're hoping for, this is the beginning of what God wants to do. I don't know, but is it possible that, I feel so alone, but yet Jesus is right there? Do you guys see what I'm saying? Do you guys see what I'm getting at? Because these two guys are feeling hopeless. Like, Jesus is gone. But they are the one who's the closest to Jesus at that time. But they don't know. I don't sense Jesus around me at all. But then, is it possible that Jesus is all around you? Right. How ironic. That can happen, right? I feel that. So that's why I asked that question. Is it possible that whatever you're feeling, we may be living in that irony? The same irony that these two guys are in a situation that is probably the most blessed time of their lives, but they fail to realize that. So, as
you know, Frank,
I thought about a song that talks about the irony. Yes, is someone pointing?
Oh, yeah. Hey, Frank, I I was thinking a little bit. The very first verse that you had us read, it actually said that very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, right? And so that's the very day of his resurrection, right? So that the very day of his resurrection, he knows that two of them are walking and he draws near. That's what it says, right? That he himself drew near and went with them. And they didn't recognize him. And then he starts this, you know, like you said, the irony. I wonder what, you know, even when you mentioned kids, I thought that was funny because that's how I was thinking about it. You know, we are his kids. We are his children. And I find it interesting. I'm curious as to what expression Jesus may have on his face. I wonder, because, you know, you keep mentioning there's like this antic, it's a little silly, right? And he's like, you know, do you not, you know, they're like, do you not know what's happening? And he's like, come on, what happened, right? And I just wonder if he has this smile on his face, the way that we might be ready to throw a surprise party for our kids or something, you know? He's bubbling up with excitement because this is the day of his own resurrection. And he's excited. He's excited to let them see, but he's kind of holding out the suspense, playing along with it a little bit. And I find that character to be really tender of Jesus. You know, there's a certain play where he wants them to know, but he's letting it build up more, right? He's letting the anticipation build up more so that they can maybe hit their heads later and go, oh my goodness, he was there. Oh my goodness. Like,
right.
What's exciting that he, you know, weren't we feeling something special? And Jesus is probably just so excited himself, right? to want to break the news, but, you know, being the ultimate patient person, he's kind of just letting it play out and letting it build up. So
yeah, that's good. He's like the ultimate director.
Yeah,
the author of the story, right? He's writing. He's dragging this out a bit. He's
right.
Like you don't know, but let me just drag this out a little bit. Let me build the momentum for you.
Yeah.
And there were his kids. He said, well, I'm going to build the momentum. The life is not just like, you want it, here you go. It's like, you know, TV dinner, right? Instant. But he's kind of, because he's building substance. There's a beauty to this long drawn out story.
And so when you asked the question as well, Frank, that you said, you know, do we, right? You know, is it possible that we have this situation where we're like, where, how come you're not here in this? How come I don't sense that you're here in this with me? We have those moments and he's building something up,
yeah.
Right? He's in the same way building something up, but he's not, you know, I can't imagine he's like, oh, I want to draw this out for your pain, but I know you're in pain, but I'm drawing this out for your good. You'll see. You'll see. You won't understand, right? Yesterday at the funeral at Casey's memorial service, her father said one of the things that God spoke to him about was God said to him, faith first and understanding later. Faith first, understanding later. So, you know, I think, you know, sometimes Jesus knows our pain and we're like, you know, where are you? How come your presence is not with me in this circumstance? But he knows he's building something up, right? He's building something up with, like you said, substance. And it's ultimately for our good, right? When we look back, we'll say, oh my goodness, wasn't he there the whole time? Isn't his footprints like obvious, you know?
And we're assured of this revelation, definitely in heaven, right? The Bible tells us, like, put our hope in that kingdom. We will know why all these things happen. But that doesn't exclude the fact that we might be, God might reveal himself and his reasons, even in our, while we're living too. But either way, that, you know, like what Casey's father said, faith first. Faith first, right? And this is what Jesus is going to address too. Faith first. He's going to address the faith part. He's going to address the faith part, but it is not all in vain. He's going to reveal the reason why. As I'm thinking about this question and this irony, a song came to mind that I thought, oh, this is what this Michael W. Smith, you know, who's 85, I don't know. Right now, he's like one of the first Christian artists I know. But this is what he was singing about. You guys want to hear it?
Yeah.
Kind of? Yeah. Okay, I want to play it for you, okay? This is what he's singing about. Yeah, does that song kind of resonate? Like, I just thought of that, like, when we feel like we're surrounded, just like these two men by bad things, right? We're actually surrounded by Jesus, just like these two men. I just thought that was that song kind of depicted the same thing. That there's irony in it. And that song was simple. That's all the lyrics that he was singing, two, three lines, right? So what happens now? Jesus can address that. You don't know. You think you're surrounded. And he says, oh, foolish ones, slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into glory? In the beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going.
he acted as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it is toward the evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. So he's saying, you obviously don't have faith. You don't believe it. I want to talk to you about your faith, right? And he says, I'm going to take the time to explain everything to you. Like, okay, so he talks to them about scripture. And I wonder what he explained to you, to those two guys. They're Jewish. They know about Jesus, the Messiah, but he's going to actually open their eyes to it. So this is we don't know what Jesus said, but perhaps it begins with Moses the prophet, and he tells them these verses. Why is he telling them these verses? You skim over, we're not going to read it all. Why do you think he's telling him these verses? Take a look at it. Beginning with Moses and the prophets, right? These are all written by Moses and the prophets. Why? Why would Jesus point out these scriptures, do you think?
Jesus is the fulfillment of these verses.
Jesus is the fulfillment of these verses, right? Like, look, you've been studying all this time. This is who I am, but you don't believe me. That's what Jesus was telling them. But you don't believe it, though. You've been studying all this time, but you don't believe it. He says, I'm going to tell you what you're studying. I'm going to actually have you experience what you've been studying, what you've been reading. And you know who these, and he kind of decoded the scriptures and the mysteries, right? We think that what you're studying, but he's telling them, I was there. This is who I am. I've always been. I'm the seed of the woman whose heel was bruised. I'm the high priest. Remember the Melchizedek, the high priest that Abraham bowed to. I'm the man who wrestled with Jacob. I'm the lion, the tribe of Judah. Remember we studied the fourth person in the fiery furnace, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego? I'm the fourth person. I'm the lamb, the Passover lamb. I'm the prophet greater than Moses. I'm the, remember the Lord's army when Joshua was going to take down the walls of Jericho? And a commander of the army appeared before Joshua? I'm the commander. I'm the suffering savior in Psalms 22. I'm the good shepherd. He's telling these two men, that's who I am. I've been here all along. But you don't know. You don't understand it. So he's explaining to them. And the two guys say, hey, it's kind of that. It's the evening. Why don't you come stay with us? Jesus was going to go, but Jesus really wanted to stay with these two guys. He really wanted to help them and reveal himself to them. So they are kept from seeing for a reason. Remember back to the beginning question, why did Jesus keep them from seeing? Jesus had a plan. He was waiting for the right time. So again, why was Jesus waiting for the right time to reveal himself to these two men? I'll kind of go scroll through it. So he's opening the truth as he prepares for his revelation to the men. In all these Bible studies, so this applies to us, right? All the Bible studies, all the sermons, all the music, perhaps is to prepare us so that Jesus is going to reveal himself to each and one of us in due time. And then we'll go, oh, that's what this is all about. This moment in time, like, oh, in the right time. Now it's not just a Bible study. Now it's, oh, I see Jesus. You were that person. You were there. You did this. Because that's what these two men, in a very short span of time, experienced. So Jesus is preparing. He's the great author, right? He's a great director. He's preparing this chapter for you and I in very different ways in his timing. So let's see how he finishes this story for these two men. Can someone read this for us? This final.
He was on the table with them. He took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were open. And they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked to us on the road? While he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared in Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them, breaking up the bread.
This is a great passage. Huh?
It's a mic drop.
That Jesus just vanished, right? Yeah. He had the mic poke. He's gone. He didn't stay, right? He just left. This is one of the most interesting ways that Jesus does what he does. So why did Jesus wait all this time? Keep thinking on that. I have another question. This is not Jesus' house. Why is he serving them? Hey, come to my house. Here's the bread, right? And blessed and gave it to you. Jesus is the host here. That was interesting too.
And I'm going back to your previous question on why they, they were not able to see, right? They were kept from seeing for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes, like, if the answer is revealed too quickly, it doesn't stick. You know, like when you're solving a problem or you're experiencing an issue, if the solution comes too fast, it doesn't stick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need the time to figure it out, reflect, think, right, of all these things. And then when the light bulb goes off, and I think that's what Jesus, as the master teacher, was probably doing.
Right?
You know, he knows, like, I'm going to take this time. I'm not going to give you the answer real quick. You know, think about this. He's giving them time. And he's walking with them, right, along with them. And then when the light bulb goes off, they got it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then he reveals himself.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah. He is the master teacher. So, like you said, that's a good comment, that he's the master teacher, and he knows the tendencies of all his students. So he knows when to push, when to wait. He knows how we're processing, all of us. So he knows these two guys, right? He's like, I'm gonna wait. Yeah. Let you kind of think about it. I'm gonna explain to you, I'm with you. I haven't abandoned you, but I'm gonna let you think through this, right?
It kind of reminds me of teaching kids long division. You know, It's really easy to ask Alexa, 5,000 divided by 32, whatever, right? Or punch it in a calculator, because you get the answer.
Oh, you get the answer, okay.
But, like, going through the order of operation, I think, you know, Jesus is, there's building blocks that require to understand. And Jesus went back to this, you know, the history of the Jewish, right? Like, how his name was in the works since the beginning of time.
Yeah.
And plugging those in, it takes them a while to, like, fully get the answer. And then apply that in future problems too, I think, you know? So yeah, I'm just reminding me of doing long division with a kid. It's easy. You can get the answer really quickly, but working through it helps to understand where it all came from.
Oh, that's good, because putting into calculator, you get the answer, but it's not going to help you in future problems where you actually have to calculate, right? So Jesus is like, hey, it's great. By the way, we have this false sense of understanding the Bible really well as close to God. That's not true, because that's what Jesus is saying. That ain't true, because you know all this. He's telling them, you know all your Bible, but I'm not concerned about that. I'm concerned about your faith, because knowing the Bible ain't going to solve your problems. It's having faith in Jesus, knowing me. Right? That's where he took the time. So he says, I'm going to explain to you how this works.
But the irony.
The irony.
Okay. Is true that all having all this knowledge of the Bible ain't going to help you, right? Mm-hmm. Faith in Jesus.
Mm.
But how do you have your faith in Jesus? It's by the word.
Yes.
That's the irony.
It goes both ways. You cannot just say, I believe, I don't know the word.
Right.
Yes. But so what Jesus is saying, you may know all the word, but faith in me is most important. And let's go back to the word too. Right?
Yeah.
So, but the miracle here, right? Is that their eyes were open. That's the most important. With all the Bible knowledge you know, you want your eyes to be open to see, oh, this is Jesus. That's who my Lord and Savior is, right? He opened my eyes. That's what we want, is our eyes are open. That we ask God, open my eyes. Otherwise, believe me, I mean, if our eyes are not open, we would not understand. We will not see that we're actually surrounded by Jesus. Right? We will not see that we're actually comforted by Jesus. We're protected by him. So that's, I think that's what Jesus is. That's why Luke is telling the story, And why Jesus took the time to perform this miracle is to remind us that he is with us, even if we don't see him. And to remind us, faith in Jesus is by far the most important. Faith in him. And their eyes were open, and they recognized him. That's very different than reading about him, right? Because they read about him, the Messiah, all through the prophets. But they didn't recognize him. I think that's a good word. I asked myself, do I recognize Jesus? I read about Jesus, but do I recognize Jesus? Revs and I think a year back that we were discussing about this passage because we heard a sermon on this. And it's interesting that there is something about breaking of the bread, communion time, that Jesus broke the bread. It's alluding to the communion time, right? Broke the bread and he served it. That many times, it may be when we're inviting Jesus to our dinner table. I next week we're going to read about something like this as well. But inviting Jesus to the dinner table, the breaking bread situation, that environment opens our eyes. Opens our eyes to, oh, there's something here. And I don't want to go too in detail because I'm not sure this is what the text is teaching, but there may be something in the communion of family or brothers and sisters of breaking of the bread. And when we invite Jesus to the table, that our eyes can be opened and we can recognize him. We can recognize him. We can encounter him simply by eating together. And inviting Jesus to the dinner table. Right, Rev?
Yeah.
Do you have anything to add to that? I know we had this discussion.
Actually, for this whole passage, the part that kind of stood out to me was the fact that of all the times that Jesus could have revealed himself, it was right when they took communion.
Yeah, it was right when they took communion.
He dropped his bread.
The bread just kind of fell.
I don't know, that's what I imagined. Like, he just left. Like, what was that?
Yeah.
And I feel like at that table was where the knowledge of Christ and the presence, the reality of Christ, like came together. Something within the communion mixed those together that opened their eyes. And I was just looking at, I'm so nerdy. I was looking at the etymology of the word communion. And it means to,
etymology
like a
study
mutual,
of word.
Yeah, it's a mutual participation and sharing. And what you said about Jesus' hosting was interesting. So it's almost as if the men invited Jesus in and Jesus accepted that invitation. And then Jesus invited them to partake in the bread and then they came in. So it's like this mutual invitation and response of, and there it's like a mutual, like, I invite you in, and I also want to be where you are, too. It's like this mutual thing going on, and I feel like at that moment, something about, again, the knowledge of Christ and the person of Christ just kind of, there's an aha moment, and it makes me feel like, oh, I want that kind of communion where the things that I'm studying about Christ, like, comes alive so much that I see Christ, like, right there. And And I wonder, not just the element of bread, like it doesn't have to be I'm literally eating, but something about the sharing and inviting each other in and going into each other's presence and fellowship. And I don't know if that makes sense, but to me, what's highlighted is this communion and like two things coming together. And it's really, I don't know, it's really intriguing, beautiful, and fiery.
We want this kind of communion at the end of the day. I think deeply, we want this kind of communion with Jesus and not rules and regulation and rituals. I don't think any of us are interested in rituals. We actually want that this kind of communion with Jesus. However this plays out, right? That there is a sharing. There is Jesus is that we acknowledge him, we see him, and we feel him. Yeah. So I think this is a picture of what it would look like. That's why Luke wrote this. And I don't know how it's going to play out in your own life, but I encourage you to look for it and ask God, hey, this is kind of the relationship I want with you. That I see you, I feel you, I trust you, right? So,
I think also the act of breaking bread with Jesus blessing it and breaking it, is familiar. They just did this about like a week ago, right? Something about this familiarity, they recognized it, right? They just did this, right? So I think it's familiar to them. It feels, even though their eyes weren't open, but at that moment it was, because it was so familiar. Now they know it was indeed Jesus, right?
Oh, yeah, so maybe something about, but I don't know if these two were in the,
I don't think.
Yeah, but maybe they heard about it, like, oh, this is Jesus breaking the bread. Either way, yeah, something was familiar. Yeah. And it's, he took the bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to them. Boom, it was gone. That's awesome. That is a miracle, because nobody can do that. That is a miracle. And their reaction is very different afterwards. Once you encounter Jesus and you feel him, immediately, within that same hour, remember it's in the evening, they walk back, right? Within the same hour, they did something, because now they know. Now they met Jesus. Now things have changed. Something happened.
Yeah, so that's interesting on the communion piece, again, right? Mm-hmm. Like in verse 35, again, it says, it repeats it. Like when they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them, mm-hmm. breaking the bread.
Yeah.
So there's something special and almost supernatural and holy about breaking the bread and communion.
Right.
When we partake.
Yes. Yeah. There is something. Don't think when we're breaking the bread, when we're we do our monthly communion, there actually is supposed to be something supernatural there. It is not, there's something there. That's why he says, do this in remembrance of me. Jesus may do a work in that moment, in the breaking of the bread. There's something supernatural about it, right? Use that time wisely, right? I'm still trying to figure it out. I don't know. I don't know how, if this is something, but in verse 35, it says it. Jesus was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. So, again, I encourage you to if this word is speaking to you, I encourage you to in your own time to ask Jesus to reveal himself to you so that you can recognize him and feel him. And not just study him in your own time. Okay? Amen. All right. Peter, can you pray for us? All right.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this special time that we have together to study your word, and how you used Brother Frank to just walk us through and help us to walk through the scripture and these miracles to really see you, and give us the experience and process of understanding and recognizing who you are. Lord, I pray that all of us would, just as these two disciples, have the burning inside of us when we read your word and when we have our eyes opened to see who Jesus is and to recognize him. And I pray, Lord, that in all of our lives, as we're being challenged, as we're facing hardship, we would also recognize that you're all around us. We are in your presence. So Lord, I pray that you bless all of us here today by the lesson that was taught, and help us to experience your word in our daily lives this coming week. So Lord, I pray for that, and I pray for worship service. May you be pleased with all of our worship as we offer it to you. Thank you for all this in Jesus' name.
Amen. All right.